Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. Founded in 1998, Ethel is a New York City-based string quartet acclaimed as indefatigable and eclectic by the New York Times and vital and brilliant by the New Yorker. Theirs is a quest for a common creative expression that is forged in the celebration of community. The group brings its collaborative discoveries to audiences through multidimensional musical repertoire and community engagement. Over the past 4 years, Ethel has premiered more than 55 new works by 20th and 21st century composers. Ethel will perform a program entitled Grace at the Mahewi in Great Barrington, Massachusetts on Saturday, June 21st at 8 p.m. Ralph Ferris is the founding violist of Ethel, and he joins us now.
Hi there.
Hi. So jumping pretty far back, I presume, how did the viola become your instrument?
Oh, wow, that is a jump back. I played violin, started violin when I was about six, and I think a lot of violists have this very same story. I wanted to go to this particular summer camp when I was nine or something, and my parents wanted me to go to this particular summer camp, to be honest. And they said, great, and we have scholarship money if you play viola. And so my parents said, sure. So I did whatever I did, and I know I ended up learning the second movement of the Telemann Viola Concerto for an audition for them. And I ended up playing viola for that summer. Viola then was always part of my life, and I was a doubler from that point forward. And then I made the official switch to be considered a full-time violist just before my senior year in high school. And so then I went to college as a violist, and now I do officially double once again. But I think my heart and soul and my string playing is on a viola.
Why would there have been scholarship money for violists?
Oh, these are fun questions. Well, you have your first fiddle, you have your second fiddle, and then you have your viola. Nobody ever wants to play second fiddle, and nobody ever wants to play viola.
Gotcha.
That's the sort of old story of how the string world used to go. There's a great old adage that a string quartet is comprised of a good violinist, a bad violinist, a failed violinist, and someone who hates violinists. So the viola historically had been perceived as the instrument played by failed violinists. And so it does play in the middle range. It's a darker quality, and it's always right in between all the action. And in traditional repertoire, the viola had more of a supporting role rather than a leading role. So all those factors coupled with the silly old tales about why the instrument was inferior caused folks to not play it as much, but at the same time, composers were certainly writing for it because you can't have a string quartet without a viola. So there always seemed to be an opening for a violist in schools and camps. There's just always a need for violists. That continues to this day a bit, but there are some amazing viola players out there. The young crop, they're just fabulous, fabulous violists coming up. It's become, it's really entered into its own of late. And I think there probably are less opportunities like I had when I was a kid. Those sort of like, well, we need a violist, we'll give scholarships. I don't think that's happening quite as much anymore because I think kids are choosing earlier to play viola rather than violin. So there you go.
Thank you. Ethel was founded in 1998, so you've been answering this question for 16 years, and I apologize for that. But
no,
how was the name Ethel chosen?
Very carefully. We were originally called Hazardous Materials, and we felt that was a bit too scary a name for us. We were a friendly bunch, and we weren't really resonating with that name. So we lasted about 6 months as Hazardous Materials, and then pretty quickly we said we've got to do something about this. So then we went into the whole name your band dance, which is really kind of amazing, and it's just a process. If anybody out there has been through it, naming a band takes forever, and we were doing all sorts of things. Stone Soup, 10 Green Fingers, I mean, just crazy, crazy things. The thing that we decided, and this was there before we named it Hazardous Materials, was that we did not want our name to involve the word string quartet. It just wasn't going to be our name. We didn't want any predetermined ideas of what we were going to be doing, what our music was going to be, and we felt that by calling ourselves String Quartet in some way, that actually colored an audience's expectations. So whatever we ended up doing, we wanted a name that was very much like a band name, that didn't mean anything and gave you the freedom to go in whichever direction really felt like the place to be. So that being the base of the discussion, we were, you know, bandying about all these names, and then my dear colleague and other founding member, who has since retired from Ethel, but she was there with us in the beginning, Mary Rowell, had just seen the film Shakespeare in Love, and she was cracking up at this moment where the bard was suffering from writer's block because he was writing a play called Romeo and Ethel the Pirate's Daughter. And that just made Mary laugh, and it made us all laugh. And so Mary said, well, what about Ethel? And we said, yeah. And that's how it came to be. Right shortly thereafter, we started working. Mary had been working with Joe Jackson for many, many years. And Joe did an interview after our work with him on Night and Day 2. A brilliant record, really an amazing record. And Joe was on this interview and asked about Ethel, and somebody asked him much the same question as what you had just asked. And he ended up saying something on the lines of, great group, terrible name. And truth be told, from time to time I stop and just have a moment with myself thinking, wait, I'm in a group called Ethel? What? That makes no sense. And I love that it is very, very liberating. It really, it doesn't mean anything, and we can go anywhere with it. So it's a really liberating name.
At the Mahewi on the 21st, you'll be performing a program entitled Grace. Please tell us about that program.
Okay. Grace is an overview of various states of grace. It's a fun program. It's a very inspiring program. We have fabulous music from really all around the world. We have Brazilian, actually, right in time for the World Cup, we have Brazilian fiddle music from Marcelo Zarvos, sort of dance fiddle music. We have the actual song Grace from Jeff Buckley, which, if anybody knows his work, we lost him tragically way too early, and Grace is his most famous and really kind of, I think it's not the only, but it's the studio record that people think of when they think of Jeff Buckley. And so we have the title track from that. We have studies in ways of being graceful in music. So there are so many different ways that grace can appear in a musical performance. One being in fleetness of foot. That could be and that could be actually the piece Marcelo Zarvos. You are filled with a joy and a real lightness as you are moving in very quickly. So as a musician, if you're able to exude this sort of this happy lightness, that's something, that's one state of grace for us. Another would be there's this gorgeous piece by Mary Ellen Childs called Shavasana, which is after the yogic practice of Shavasana, which is at the end of yoga practice. You repose and you lie down, and you are just being with the practice that you've been through. It's actually, I believe it's akin to a sense of taking, looking at what could be your final rest. And it's a meditation space, Shavasana, and this, and what Mary Ellen has brought to us is this gorgeous contemplative thing. And for us, there is grace in that space, the mindset of clearing your head and just being with what has just come. There's grace in love, from our good friend Carlo Mombelli from South Africa. He wrote a love song to his sweetheart of, 30 years, I believe. Song for Sandra. It's just a sweet little love song. And then we have, from Ennio Morricone, an arrangement of, the soundtrack from The Mission, which is this stunning, stunning score, with very famous tune, Gabriel's Oboe. And that whole film is all about, looking to achieve the state of grace, through missionary work, and whether or not it succeeds or however you feel about it, that's for the listeners to determine. But the music from the film is extraordinary, and the symbolism of where that music was coming from in the context of the film is also incredibly powerful. So various looks at how grace shows up in our world, from the straight ahead physical state of being to the metaphysical and to the ethereal. And it's a really fun ride, a very inspiring ride. It's a wonderful program. We're quite happy to play it whenever we have the opportunity to play it. It feels very, very good to play, and it's also quite a crowd pleaser.
Ethel will perform at the Mahawi in Great Barrington, Massachusetts on Saturday, June 21st at 8 p.m. Ralph Ferris, thank you so much for joining me today.
Hey, thank you.
Ethel will perform at the Mahawi in Great Barrington, Massachusetts on Saturday, June 21st. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.